Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Follow Your Path. My name is Abdul Abid, and I'm a surgical pathology fellow at UPMC. And today we will be talking to Dr. Joseph Mileski. He is a professor of pathology and lab medicine at Mayo Clinic. I'm also joined today by a future pathologist, Casey Shuko. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mileski.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
So starting off, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you went to medical school and residency?
Sure. Yeah, so I grew up in a relatively small town in southeastern Michigan called New Baltimore. And then spent 4 years at Michigan State as an undergrad and loved my time there. And so hung on there for another 4 years in medical school. And at that time, the Michigan State medical school system was structured in such a way that you spent your first 2 years in East Lansing, and then your latter clinical years were spent somewhere around the state of Michigan. And so my third and fourth years were spent in Kalamazoo, rotating at Bronson and Borges hospitals, which are, of course, now part of the Western University School of Medicine. So after that, I left Michigan for the first time in my life and kind of expanded my horizons a bit and did my residency out in Baltimore at Hopkins, did APCP there, and then pursued a cardiovascular fellowship followed by a molecular genetic pathology fellowship here at Mayo. And I've been on staff ever since.
That's wonderful. I didn't realize you're another Michigan guy, another green and white, green and white fella. So I also did my med school. Yeah, I was at MSU Com. I was at the DO school and did my first 2 years in the Detroit campus. And that was a sector that they had off the main East Lansing campus. And then my last 2 years at a small hospital in Downriver, Michigan. I want to ask, is there a particular faculty member or mentor that inspired you to choose cardiac pathology as a career path?
Well, I don't think there was probably just one. Certainly, my decision was a little bit circuitous, I think, in that pathology came a little bit later. I had been interested in the heart, biology, physiology, anatomy of the heart ever since fifth grade. And there are very few circumstances in life where you can trace all decisions back to one moment in time. But this is one of those for me. And it was sitting in a fifth grade class, and the teacher had put on an old film strip and shared it with us of a movie called Hemo the Magnificent. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend everybody to search it out, seek it out on YouTube. There are clips of it, even the whole thing, I think, is out there. And it was a movie that was written, produced, and directed by a man named Frank Capra. And many of you will know who that is. In fact, he's such a famous director and writer that he even has an adjective ascribed to him, Capra-esque. And generally, his movies all inspire a sense of kind of courage and altruism and real humanism in them. Well, this film that he wrote was a little bit different than others in that it was a collaboration with Bell Labs or Bell Science. And basically what it talked about was it talked about the magnificence of the circulatory system, a hemo kind of being, you know, the hemoglobin kind of iron type thing. And it really, it went all through blood, and then it got to the section on the heart. And in the section of the heart, there's this really cool part of the video where they've got a camera inside a beating heart, and you're seeing the valves open and close, and then it kind of fades into this very cool montage of like blood going in different vessels in different places. And there's one of a kind of a video photo micrograph of a capillary that's passing individual erythrocytes through it, and then it kind of, you see the arteriolar constriction upstream, and the red blood cells kind of slow to a crawl and kind of stop in there. Seeing these valves open and close dynamically, I was hooked. Like it had me. Fireworks went off, trumpets sounded, the angels sang. I knew that I had to know everything about the heart for the rest of my life. And for years after, and even continuing today, like I would dedicate all my free time to finding books about the heart, reading about them. It's all I asked for Christmas, building models of the heart. I had plastic ones, you know, small ones that actually went inside chests. I had whole heart models. I had, you name it, if it had the heart involved, like that was going to be what it was about for me. So I knew it was going to be heart all along, and I kind of went to college knowing that one day I would study the heart, and then my decision to go to medical school was basically kind of, there was almost an implicitness to that, that I'd probably go into cardiology, maybe cardiac surgery or whatnot, some field involving the heart, of course. Well, early on in medical school, one of the things that immediately became clear to me is that of all the teachers I had, and I had lots of incredibly good teachers, the ones who were consistently the most engaged and the most passionate, it seemed, were the pathologists. And it just so happens that one of the pathology instructors there was also interested in heart pathology. And so I'm sure that that played a not insignificant role in things. And her name was Shirley Sue. In fact, she recently, I understand, passed away. And after a very, very long and illustrious career at Michigan State. And, you know, she encouraged me, and I think, you know, recognized that that was a pretty niche area and a niche specialty to go into. And so, you know, she was, I think, cautiously supportive of somebody wanting to go into it. You know, so basically all decisions really came from there. And the thing I loved about pathology, I think more than other medical specialties, I kind of had inclinations and hints during my first 2 years, but rotating third and fourth year kind of through other areas really affirmed the decision in that, you know, at the end of the day, in spite of it all, I was always most interested in kind of the detective work at the beginning, sorting out like what's happening, what's the underlying issue here, much more so than kind of the treatment aspect and all those other things. And there was also kind of a sense that there were a lot of factors that were kind of outside the realm of medicine that went into ultimate treatment plans and all those other things, making sure people had adequate access to everything from not only healthcare and the resources to be able to muster support for whatever treatment you were recommending, but also things like, did you have a place to discharge the patient to, and all these other things that just, they were not in my wheelhouse. Those were not things that I dealt easily with. I would spend most of my time just being intensely depressed about a lot of those issues. And the things that I was most excited about were really what was the root cause? What tools do we have in our armamentarium to find that root cause? How can we get the patient to an answer and get all the rest of the balls in motion? Because all the balls move in medicine based on that diagnosis. And so that, I think, was incredibly appealing to me. And the fact that I could kind of merge all of my interests, kind of the heart, I could kind of take in photography and artwork and things like that that were intensely interesting to me. I loved working with my hands and doing dissections and things like that. And boy, oh boy, you see that in spades in pathology. It's not unlike surgery in that respect. And I got to do all the cool biochemical and molecular stuff that I also loved, being kind of a natural science geek as well. So it so seamlessly blended everything, and then also offered you this great platform on which you got to teach and talk to people. And, you know, the aphorism of the doctor's doctor is genuine. It's true. I get calls from these incredibly smart, amazing colleagues every day asking for my opinion about things. And I get to teach to them and talk to them about things that they probably only heard about in passing, or maybe have never heard of. And they're like, what's that? And then you get to go off on these, you know, big long tirades about this is the neatest thing ever, and here's all the, you know, different ways it can affect people, and this is why it's important to know about it, and here's what you can do about it. It's the best. It's the best job in the world, and I'm lucky to have it.
Oh, wonderful. So if you had to talk to a medical student or an incoming resident about cardiac pathology as to why they should consider cardiac pathology, what would you say?
Well, it's an interesting area because it's not unlike most other areas in anatomic pathology. Namely, it's different in that it's really primarily a medical specialty. And when we think about pathology, we primarily think about it as a surgical specialty. And it's not that there aren't surgical issues that arise for cardiac pathologists. You know, we look at all kinds of surgical specimens that come from the heart, valves, apical cores, vascular specimens like aortas, pericardia, septal myectomy. There's atrial appendages. There's a whole array of specimens that come from the heart, not to mention heart tumors, which are an area of my academic interest. But primarily, the specimen we concern ourselves with are medical biopsies that are taken for medical disease. And the thing that really appeals to me about that is that at its core, surgical pathology is a field of largely taxonomy. It's a field where we're taking things and we're putting them into buckets based on their morphologic and their kind of protein characteristics and a variety of other things. We take all that information, we push it together, and we create categories, and then we track those things along with how these things behave on the oncologic side, which encompasses about 80 to 90% of what surgical pathologists contend with. Medical disciplines really require a different level of investigation and a different thought process. So whenever I sit down to look at a heart biopsy, I'm pulling in lots and lots of additional information as well. I'm pulling up echoes. I'm looking at how the heart's functioning. I'm looking at laboratory values, and I'm looking at serum studies, and I'm looking at all these other things, kind of this composite amalgamation of all the data that's coming from a patient, and I'm putting all of that together. And so I think it's specifically what drives many folks away from medical areas. Many surgical pathologists love the fact that cases are self-contained. Like I can derive a diagnosis in 90% of my cases just by what's on the slide, and I don't need any of that other information. In cardiac pathology, it's not that at all. It's digging through the record, it's putting together the pieces, understanding the complexities and the nuance, often writing very long narrative comments that explain why a patient may be having clinically significant dysfunction. And that appealed to me. That appeals to kind of my sense. I love physiology. I love thinking about, you know, the way that the heart's working and kind of the hemodynamic loading conditions that a heart might be under and how changes at the gene or the protein level can impact the heart and kind of, you know, present in myriad ways. So I think that's what really appeals to me. I love the medical side of pathology, always have. There's a few specialties where you get to explore that medical side. Cardiac's one of them, renal's another. Neuropathology to another extent, some GI, of course, and lung pathology as well as a strong medical side. And I also, in addition to doing heart pathology, I do lung pathology as well. So I'm kind of a chess guy overall.
No, that's awesome. That's a very awesome explanation. I can definitely see that the big picture, everything encompassing aspect of cardiac pathology. So thank you so much for sharing that. In regards to residents that may be interested in cardiac pathology, what advice do you have for them? You know, tips, things that they should be doing or could be doing. Floor is yours.
Yeah, I think, you know, it largely boils down to what you want to do with your ultimate career. Are you looking at a career that's going to be primarily academic in nature or primarily community practice based? And I think that split, kind of thinking about things in that dichotomy, will allow you to kind of consider a lot of other things. For instance, a career in cardiac pathology, because it's inherently somewhat niche in and of itself, it's going to require that you bring another skill set, largely to maintain a full-time job. And so if you're going into an academic practice, there's lots of things that you can potentially marry with it to build out an entire career. And I think that's one of the things that you have to think about. Are you really more science driven, and are you going to be kind of a basic science or translational science researcher in addition to your clinical job? If so, cardiac pathology marries really well with that. There's lots of great science going on, and the clinical practice is sufficiently contained where you can have a great blend of both science and medicine in a singular career. If you're going for a more kind of community practice-based model, then I think that you've got another decision point to make in that, do you really want to do primarily surgical pathology, or do you want to do more autopsy-based pathology? Because a lot of what cardiac pathologists do as well is evaluate sudden death and cardiomyopathies and things like that. And so it blends in really nicely with a forensic or kind of an autopsy-based background as well. And so that's one avenue you can explore. Or if you're interested in the surgical pathology side, figuring out like what other thing might I be interested in? And I have a number of friends in the cardiovascular pathology community who blend it, you know, on the surgical side with renal pathology. You know, there's a lot of very good renal and cardiac pathologists. Lots of people who do heart and lung together, like I do. And then there's other folks who do cardiac and peds, and they focus on the congenital side of things. So there's lots of different things that you can mix it up with there. But I think it'll largely be driven by what kind of practice and what kind of life you want, and then what are your other interests are.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much, Dr. Malaszewski. So that's our show for today, folks. You can find Dr. Malaszewski on Twitter. His Twitter handle is at Joe Malaszewski. And thank you very much for listening to us. And if you like the show, please like and subscribe our channels on YouTube, Apple, and Podbean. And we'll be back with another episode soon.
Special thank you to our listeners. Until next time, enjoy an excerpt from an opening interview with Dr. Monica Pagano.
Hematologists, surgeons, and we talk about patients and patient care. Many times we go to the bedside and we talk to patients as well, even for apheresis. The lab will contact you about, hey, this patient is hemolyzing and these are the antibodies that I found. What do you think we should continue doing? How do we prioritize choosing a unit for this patient for transfusion? So definitely you're part of the care team, and I think that's extremely exciting. And again, taking calls is quite manageable. I do find it very interesting. I find it rewarding when you are called and you are able to provide some consultation and help patients or the clinical team. I think that's, again, extremely rewarding.